Hey, Rob B here with Rob D, and you're listening to the Property Podcast. It's the market update. It's a super popular episode. We get lots of interest in this episode, especially with the type of news stories we'll be covering this episode. We're going to give you the inside scoop on the rental market right now and where it's booming. And we're also going to cover an agency that predicted not a house price boom this year, but a house price crash of 14%. Who are they and what have they been drinking? You'll find out in this episode.
Welcome to the Property Podcast, where every Thursday morning, property investors come to be informed and inspired. Yes, today is market update, and as well as indulging in our favourite hobby of slacking off other people's predictions, we are going to be talking about some important developments in the rental market, the mortgage market, and of course, talking about house prices. And as if that weren't enough, stick around to the end, because in Hub Extra, we're recommending a podcast that follows directly on from one of our favourite books of recent years. Just before we get into our main topic this week, a quick announcement. Rob and I are presenting a webinar and you are invited. It's actually been over a year since we last hosted a webinar, but we thought it was high time we did another one because we really want to talk about ourselves for half an hour and then pitch you on something expensive. No, we don't. We actually want to do it because we've got a concept that we're really excited by and that we want to share with you. It's called the Property Investor's Magic Formula. And in this webinar, we're going to share what this formula is. I'm going to show a real purchase of mine where this formula actually saved it. And we're going to talk about when property does and doesn't outperform the stock market. And the answer might just surprise you. So this is taking place on the evening of the 14th of September. It is completely free. I was joking earlier, there's not going to be anything for sale. And to sign up, you just need to go to propertyhub.net/webinar. So that's the 14th of September. Places are free but limited. So make sure you go and sign up at propertyhub.net/webinar and we'll see you there. Let's get straight into it. It's time for our market update. We're looking back over what's happened in the month of August. Traditionally, a slower time of the year, both in terms of the property market, because everyone goes on holiday, and politically, in terms of new initiatives and policies being announced, for the same reason, politicians go on holiday. But this has not been a quiet month. We've got so much to talk about this time around. But Rob, we tend to start by talking about what everyone's talking about at the moment, and is always a popular topic of dinner party conversation. Property prices, and well worth talking about at the moment in particular, because according to this story in the FT that we're starting with, UK house prices in June rose at the fastest rate since 2004. And well worth talking about now in particular, because according to this story in the FT, UK house prices in June rose at the fastest rate since 2004. Long way back, average house prices reached an annualized increase of 13.2% in the 12 months to June, which means the average UK home now costs £266,000. And according to one agent quoted in this piece, Rob, the increase is borderline obscene. Would you agree with that?
I've almost got boom fatigue, because we've been talking about it a little while and the numbers involved, they're beginning to sound normal, but they're not normal, are they? These aren't normal numbers. These are massive numbers. And it's very easy to become blasé about double-digit growth now, but we just haven't had that for, since 2004, a long, long time. So while it may be the norm for you listening because you've heard us talk about it so much, in a way, I'm shocked that more people aren't talking about it on the street yet. And they will. They absolutely will. They aren't yet. And I think that while some people are getting into conversation and acknowledging property prices, I think that national obsession around it, where everybody is addicted to it, is not quite here yet, even with numbers being quoted like that. And the next news story comes from BBC News. And Rob, we've talked about this previously, but it's getting even more attention, so it's worth just mentioning again. But another report saying house prices, demand changes, not tax waiver, push up prices. And the report goes on to say that stamp duty was not the cause of the current property boom.
Yes, they mention a couple of other factors, which are completely agree probably have been the cause, because this has been an international phenomenon. We talked on, I think it was the last market update, but certainly recently we talked about how crazy prices in the US are going, but it's happening in other markets as well. What have the countries where this is happening got in common? Well, a lot of places have got in common what we've called forced savings. Well, forced savings is one thing that they've got in common. People who kept their jobs kind of had no choice but to improve their financial position. So more people were there on the demand side. Also, lots of people suddenly reconsidering where they wanted to live and changing their lifestyles in quite significant ways. And it also does mention in passing the role of low interest rates. And I think that this is something that we're going to hear a lot more about. I'm starting to see stories talking about central banks and how their policies are affecting housing markets, whether they're exacerbating inequality and things like that. And I do think that this is going to become a bit of a theme. But I think it's good to see the conversation moving on from, oh, it's just the stamp duty cut. But I think it's good to see it moving on for a couple of reasons. One being that you get to move on to looking at the real reasons, which are actually far more interesting. And also, this means that you're more likely to be correct about what happens next in the housing market. Because if you believed that it was all because of stamp duty, you'd expect the market to come to a juddering halt. But as we've discussed before, we don't believe that's going to happen because all these other factors which are actually driving what's happening are still in place.
Next up, we've got an article from Landlord Today, and the headline reads, Rental Market Pointer, Regional Cities to See Biggest Growth. And this article, kind of given away by the headline, suggests that the regional cities are going to do better for the rental markets in the near term, and London isn't going to do as well. And this is interesting for two reasons. Let's stick with the London point first. I think it's interesting that there's more London bashing going on, and we've been part of that in the past, you know, many years gone by, where we've said to people, just ignore London for now. But the more negativity around London, the more I get interested. Like, we were negative a long time ago when nobody was. And now that it's almost fashionable to beat down the London property market, I think it's quite interesting as an area. I think it's too early to be investing there right now, because when will it start moving? And there are no indicators of any positive movement at the moment. But I just think the fact that everybody feels quite comfortable bashing London as an investment area at the moment actually piques our interest. And then the other point that I think is really interesting around this is them pointing to the regional cities, because cities in general haven't done that well recently for obvious reasons, COVID. So because of that, there's been this sort of dampening down of rental levels and demand, but that is absolutely changing. And a bit of an exclusive for Property Podcast listeners, because we are closer to the rental market and we experience it on a much bigger scale, can absolutely tell you right now that the cities in the north are absolutely bouncing in terms of rental demand. The stock is flying off the shelves and rental prices are starting to move back up again. Now, it's not been reported in any data yet because this is just happening now. So there's going to be that lag effect, but you heard it here first. The regional cities are performing very well in the rental market right now. So will that carry on? We'll see, and we'll keep you updated. But it is absolutely happening, and we're seeing stuff flying off the shelves, and we're seeing rental prices starting to increase again.
Okay, so the news stories we've covered so far have taken us through what's happening, house prices going up, where is it happening, and where might it continue to happen in the future. We've just talked about where it's happening, so logical next question to ask is, well, what's going to happen next?
If you want to know, Rob, you're probably best ignoring the next article.
Yeah, exactly. This is an article from The Telegraph called Five Charts That Predict the Next House Price Crash. Yeah, it's actually a pretty good article. It doesn't really predict the next house price crash, but it does talk about a lot of the factors in the housing market, and it does it quite well. But as part of this story, they quote the opinion of a consultancy called CEBR as to what they think is going to happen to house prices in the future. And they say that based on their forecasts about what's going to happen with interest rates and everything else, they say, and I quote, it will tip house prices into correction territory. And CEBR has forecast a 2% drop in house prices by the end of 2022.
Oh dear, Rob.
Yeah.
Obviously, if the Telegraph's quoting them, these guys have got a lot of credibility. How have they done recently on their predictions?
Funny you should ask, because it's always worth going back and looking at these things. And it didn't take too much to unearth the fact that this is the very same CEBR that predicted a 4% fall in property prices this year. Well, hang on, I'll pause for a minute. How much have prices gone down by this year, Rob?
No, Rob, they've not gone down. We've covered this. It's double-digit growth, remember?
Double-digit. You're right. Because I'm getting confused because they predicted a double-digit fall. They actually said that prices would fall by 13.8% this year. So, yeah.
How is even after a prediction like that, CEBR a thing? Like, how can they put forward another estimate with a fall at the moment? Did they all open the wine at lunch and go, should we do it again? They're going to publish this, aren't they? Like, it's absolutely ludicrous. I've been on their website and they employ multiple economists and they actually sell their services to apparently many businesses who use them to forecast for them, which I don't know. Would you have much faith in businesses that are using CEBR as a company to forecast the future?
I want to get their client list to make sure I don't own any shares in them at all, because it's just, it's unbelievable. And I mean, they might be right this time. They might be. But I dug out the full text of the current prediction that they're making, and they don't refer back to how wrong they were last time. I'd have so much more faith in it if they said, look, this is what we said would happen. It is based on these factors. One of these factors turned out not to be correct, and as a result, this happened. I mean, you're still like more than 20% out, so I wouldn't be that impressed, but still that would be something. But still, not to even reference the fact that you were so wildly wrong, that's keeping a lot of economists in jobs for not much result, if you ask me.
Being over 20% out, I'd not be putting out more press releases. I'd be rebranding. It's hard to be that wrong. I mean, that is really wrong. And Rob, another headline that could be concerning if you stopped at the headline reads, UK house sales plunge in July after stamp duty holiday ends. I thought the stamp duty holiday wasn't a thing and it had no impact. So what's happening here?
Yeah, so I think the distinction to make here is that the stamp duty holiday is not the reason that the market is doing what it's doing. It may have been some kind of contributing factor, but it is not the reason. But what it is going to do is cause a couple of weird spikes, and that's exactly what's happening. So it's the same kind of graph you see whenever there's a change in stamp duty or a surcharge coming in and people trying to get in ahead of it, things like that. The number of June transactions was absolutely massive, and then July, it really plunges, because normally you would have allowed your transaction to take as long as it takes and be fine if it got done in July, but instead everyone rushed to get it done in June before the deadline. And the same thing may well happen again in September, because that is the next threshold, and after that point everything goes back to the way it was before. But everyone quoted in this piece says that the fact that sales are slowing down is not indicative that the market is struggling anyway. And indeed one person quoted says that he expects the number of sales happening in 2021 to be the highest since 2007, which is proper boom territory, and says, quote, the housing market remains very active and we're seeing little sign of any slowing down.
Moving away from house prices now and over to news around rents. And there's a headline that I'm sure will be concerning a lot of people. And the headline reads, here they come, rent controls to be introduced in part of the UK. And the part of the UK that it's being referred to is Scotland. And apparently a deal between the Scottish National Party and the Green Party has been reached, and they're going to implement rent controls that mean that rents do not exceed 25% of household income. Now, that is really interesting, Rob, because this is going to be a first for the UK. What is also interesting, but not surprising, is other than the headline announcement, the Scottish government have given pretty much no other detail on when, how, other than the headline 25% of household income. How that's going to be measured, how it's going to be implemented, any start dates, none of that detail is here. So it might happen, but the problem is without the detail, we don't know when and we don't know exactly how it'll be implemented.
No, this is very much a headline stage at the moment, because the thing that you just said about 25% of household income, that was a manifesto commitment for the Scottish Green Party, but they're doing this in collaboration with the SNP. And so that doesn't mean that they're necessarily going to get their policy through exactly how they want it. That's just what they wanted. So we have no idea really what this new policy is going to be. In Scotland, there's already a concept of rent pressure zones, which is where you're not allowed to increase the rent by more than such and such a percentage. Can't quite remember the details, to be honest, but the reason I can't remember them is that they haven't really been used. So they brought in this mechanism and then haven't really got any mileage out of it. And this may be the same again, or it could be something really new that has a major effect. We just don't know. But if they do bring in what I describe as proper rent controls, inverted commas, it'll be really interesting, because you're going to end up with two very similar nations next to each other pursuing two very different paths, and we'll get to see how each plays out. But I wouldn't hold your breath for that, because like you've said, Rob, there is no detail at this stage, and these things do tend to take some time to work their way through.
Staying with rent, this next news story is from The Negotiator, and the headline reads, "Possession claims double as eviction ban ends, but are way off normal." And I'm really pleased that this headline didn't just end with possession claims double, because that, I think, is a bit misleading, because while they have doubled from 3,000 to 7,000 orders, it's actually a lot lower than normal levels. And in the same quarter in 2019, pre-COVID, remember those glorious days, these actions are actually down by 74%. And repossessions have started again, because you weren't allowed to do repossessions. And they've gone up to 1,500, obviously from zero. But again, that's 80% down at the same period in 2019. Obviously, Rob, I hope it stays down, because everyone wanted to stay down, because landlords want people paying and tenants don't want to be kicked out their homes. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how this data develops, because it's only just started again. And hopefully it's not a slow start and it's going to accelerate in a massive way in the coming months. But at least at the moment, it's way down on normal activity.
Yes, this will be a very interesting one to keep an eye on, because like you say, things have only just restarted. And because of constraints in the system, you can't have the entire backlog suddenly working its way through at the same time. So you couldn't go from zero to tens of thousands. It's just not possible. But will you go from zero to tens of thousands eventually? Will we go from the 80% decline that we've currently got to being in excess of normal, as there is some kind of catch up? We just don't know, but we'll wait and see. Moving on now from rents to mortgages, something else very much of interest to property investors. And the headline here is from which.co.uk. It says, 5-year mortgage rates drop below 1%. Is now the time to fix for longer? And it's talking about residential mortgages here, but still some absolutely staggering rates around at the moment, Rob. Now, this is at 60% loan to value, which admittedly is lower than a lot of homeowners would normally be going for, because on your own home, you could sort of get to 90% or beyond. But with Halifax, they've got a 2-year fix at 0.83%, and you can now get a 5-year fix for below 1%. It's 0.98. Absolutely staggering numbers.
They are, but not unexpected, because this is something we've talked about for a long time now, to expect that as the market heats up, for the mortgage market to really become competitive and you get offered better rates and the banks accept smaller margins. And it is absolutely playing out that way. And yes, 60% loan to value, it means that not everybody can access that product. But with house prices going up the way they are at the moment, more and more people are probably going to fall into that category. You know, people who are at 70% loan to value may find that suddenly they're qualifying for 60% products. So this product might be open to more and more people if they're not looking to release equity. For consumers, for homeowners, for investors, this is all positive, and expect buy-to-let products to absolutely follow this trend. It starts with the normal products, because that's the easy place for banks to operate in, but then lenders will do the same for buy-to-let as well. So rates over the next 12, 24 months, we can see coming down, and obviously that's great news for investors. So good news around mortgages, but not so good news for the high street. And this is our last story of the day, and the headline that definitely grabs the attention, unfortunately for the wrong reasons, and that's UK loses 83% of department stores since BHS collapsed. That I knew a lot of department stores had disappeared from the high street, but I had no idea it was to that level. Like, if you'd asked me to guess, I probably would have said, I don't know, 20%. But 83% is absolutely staggering. And the article goes on to talk about how some of these spaces are being redesigned and reused in different ways. So there's a space on Edinburgh's main high street that the department store that was there is now being turned into, at the top floor, an office. The middle floor is a hotel, and a much smaller retail space on the ground floor. And that's what needs to happen now. There's been a clear shift in consumer behaviour. More and more of us are comfortable with shopping online, and COVID has absolutely accelerated that trend. So I think there's a place for department stores in key locations, and I don't think that loss will be 100%. But with the high street suffering, Rob, I think what's really going to be interesting now is to watch how these spaces are going to be used and what creative ideas are come up with. We were in Clerkenwell this week, a part of London, and all around us was empty offices available to let or for sale. And Clerkenwell is a really cool place to live, and it has a real shortage of housing stock. So there's kind of an obvious planning switch that could take place there, but this will be replicated all up and down the country.
That's right. I think it's quite sad from a nostalgic point of view that lots of these historic high street brands have gone and are not coming back, but there's no point being emotional about it. It's being driven by consumers. It's the reality. So, and there is a big opportunity to do something with this absolute prime space in quite big locations. And like you say, Robert, it's not just this. It's going to be office space as well, increasingly. And it presents a huge challenge because these aren't necessarily easy spaces to work with. If you're looking at adding new housing, it's far easier to just whack up something brand new on a greenfield site, and I imagine cheaper as well. But it is a real opportunity to revitalize city centres and have more of a mix of residential and commercial and different types of commercial. So I really hope that the planning system and everyone locally and nationally who's involved in this type of thing does everything that can be done to encourage developments of these sites. Because at the moment, I think it is a bit sad, but it could be turned into something really great.
It's time for Hub Extra now, that part of the show where we just want to give you more value. Like, we want to stack it right to the end of the podcast. And this week is absolutely no different. And I love it when we can give you a podcast recommendation. And Rob, I love it even more when it's not coming from me and it's coming from you, because that means I'm going to win. And I love what you're recommending this week, and I'll definitely be downloading the episodes. What is it?
This is a podcast called Bad Blood, The Final Chapter. Now, I believe, Rob, it was you that mentioned the book Bad Blood on Hub Extra a couple of years ago. I went on to read it off the back of that, and it is the story of a company called Theranos and their charismatic founder, Elizabeth Holmes, who basically pretended that they had this incredible revolutionary medical technology, but didn't at all. And it all collapsed quite spectacularly. That is now coming to trial, and Holmes is facing up to 20 years in prison if she's convicted. And the author of that book, Bad Blood, is now doing a podcast that's filling in what's happened in the couple of years since he published the book, and is going to follow along the trial as it happens. And it is starting literally right now. I listened to the first episode this morning. It was really great, and I'm really looking forward to following the rest of it along. So if you did enjoy the book, a strong recommendation. And if you haven't read the book, Bad Blood, yet, then go do that, because it's a really incredible story.
So that's us done for another week. We'll be back on Tuesday, of course, with Ask Rob and Rob. And of course, next Thursday with the main event, the Property Podcast. So until then, have fun. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.